Welcome to the Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA, a show that helps you learn how planners can generate significantly more wealth now. Nathan will answer your questions about business or personal finance, or how to increase current cash flows and generate retirement savings to make sure you're on the right path, and so much more. Whatever your financial goal, Nathan can get you there faster. And now, here's your host, Nathan Ross.
Welcome to this week's Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA. We're very happy you're joining us once again. And we know it's early there, at least it is in Houston, where we're broadcasting live. So appreciate you tuning in. I want to remind you that just because you hear a certain tax strategy or other tax information, don't assume it fits your facts and circumstances. Please run it by your current tax counselors, and let's make sure you can achieve the expected outcome based on, again, your own specific facts and circumstances. And that goes double for any investment opportunity concerning real estate that you might hear on today's show. And again, we know nothing about your specific facts and circumstances unless you're already a client. And so you want to make sure you have those advisors review whatever you thought you heard, and let's make sure it fits. And for those of you that don't have advisors for either the tax assessment or the private partnership and assessment of value for your situation, feel free to go to our website and go to the forms tab, and there you can complete, hopefully you'll complete all four of the forms, but if you just get one, the first one would be good for us to get started with a phone call, and we can give you some idea if we can sync up with your goals and objectives. And there's such a mixed bag of opportunities, and you know, there's such a thing as being a better fit, well, let's just say a no fit, a good fit, or a great fit. And so if it doesn't fit, you don't want to waste any time looking at that one. You know, these real estate private partnership syndications are like a train station. There's always another one coming through. And I have an example. I had a client call me this week that was asking about an opportunity involving an opportunity zone, which you may recall, I believe it was part of the 2017 Act. I know that Senator Tim Scott from South Carolina was a big proponent and takes credit for getting that through Congress. And in any event, my client has a self-directed 401 trust that's otherwise known as a solo K in the world of IRA custodian marketing. There is no such term in the code and or regulations that we and the IRS, et cetera, follows, and it's referred to as a trust created pursuant to Section 401. So therefore, we use the term 401 trust. And the 401 trust, the way we deploy it, is think of it as a duplex if it were a piece of real estate, or actually it's more like a triplex, because not only does it have a pre-tax component, we have a Roth component, and then we have a after-tax component, which we typically use just before converting a non-deductible contribution over to the Roth side of the 401. So the prototype plan that we adopt with our clients is the most flexible, it's the widest available set of variables that there is. And it's already been approved by Department of Labor and IRS. And as you may know, the Department of Labor actually promulgates the statutes for the retirement sector, including the 401, and the IRS, of course, acquiesces. But you need them both to be in sync with all the assorted rules that apply. But anyway, my client has a self-directed 401. He saw an opportunity that was promoting an opportunity zone. And if you don't know anything about those opportunity zones, they are, let's just call it an economic development tool that allows people to invest in distressed areas in the U.S. And the purpose, of course, is to spur new money coming into depressed areas, low-income communities, etc. And in exchange for that, they provide tax benefits to the investors that undertake those investments. Significant tax benefits. And I'm not wanting to get into what all those benefits and qualifications are. That wasn't the point. Let's just talk about just briefly about the biggest benefit is that you escape the capital gains tax when you sell the property, provided you've held it for the requisite, I believe it's a 10-year time frame now. And so anyway, the gentleman was asking, well, would this be a good option for me? And I explained to him, and he knew this, but he's just seeking confirmation, that any transaction that he invests in with his self-directed 401 of this nature, meaning it was an apartment project, as are most of the investments that our clients tend to undertake with their 401 trust, you're already sidestepping the taxes. You're not going to pay any tax on the gain on a sale of an apartment building or the sale of a partnership interest or disposition of a partnership interest that you invested in that holds multifamily properties, whether it's in an opportunity zone or not. And let's face it, the reason that an option might be available that's in an opportunity zone ultimately is because it's in a depressed area typically. And so you've got an added risk there that you wouldn't have perhaps investing in a different part of town or a different part of the state or the country. And after all, the initial reason we invest is to make money. And if we can invest with our 401 trust and avoid the tax until such time as we decide we're ready to take money out to live on, as an example, then we pay the tax, and we only pay the tax for the portion that we decide to liquidate or take out. And this brings me to another point. I get calls a lot of times after we talk about the issues of the real estate mentor investor platforms. You know, a lot of our clients are members of those. I've got many people who, after listening to the radio, will call and want to know, well, I heard you say I don't really have to do that. And I said, well, you don't. I know the folks that run these platforms make it sound as if you're going to miss out on something special if you don't join their platform. And, you know, as an example, the whole concept of investing in real estate private partnerships, in the past, a lot of times the projects were exclusive only to the platforms that were out there. And if you wanted to take advantage of investing in apartments, for instance, you needed to join one of the platforms that had the syndicators or the lead partners, as the case may be, that were offering these transactions. But that has not been the case now for a long time. And I would tell you that there's plenty of other options now, even though there are still some platforms that have exclusivity. Very similar, if not better, even transactions exist outside of those platforms, and you can invest either directly with the syndicator, or you might choose to go to a platform like Realty Mogul or CrowdStreet and pick one of their syndicators. And in fact, some of those syndicators used to be syndicating on one or more of the investor mentor type platforms that are still available. So many times you can get access to the same syndicators, just different projects. And in fact, there's one syndicator that is a longtime mentor with one of the leading real estate mentor platforms based in Houston. I refer to it often as Self-Made Millionaires Platform, because that's what he calls himself on his radio shows and podcasts. And I would suggest that the most prolific syndicator that has ever been in the game, so to speak, at least from an investment perspective, is actually with a group that syndicates out on Realty Mogul. So you too can invest with said syndicator, not within Self-Made Millionaires platform, but you can outside. And I guess it just proves my point that you can avoid the $20,000 or $25,000 member fee to join some of these platforms and still get access to what I'm going to call the good stuff, right? The syndications, and especially with individuals that self-made millionaire refers to this guy as self-made billionaire, very successful. And so anyway, I like that option, and would just suggest to you that if you want to learn more about how to do that, connect with us, fill out our intake form, schedule a call, and I'll be happy to give you some guidelines. Let's do this. I think we're right at time for our first break. Let's go ahead and take the break, and we will circle back momentarily with more of this week's Be a Planner show with Nathan Ross, CPA.
People always coming up to me and asking, what's your secret? With all you do, your attitude just seems to be so good. How do you keep it? Well, I'm not the Dalai Lama, but I'll try to offer up a few words of advice. You better get to living, giving. Don't forget to throw in a little forgiving and love along the way. You better get to knowing, showing a little bit more concern about where you're going. There's a word unto the wise. You better get to living.
BeAPlanner.com wants to ask you, when's the last time your tax pro called with a way to save you taxes? Seriously, do you want to work with a planner or a reporter? A planner knows which tax code sections are the best wealth accumulation tools. Less tax, more profit. Learn more at BeAPlanner.com. The Be A Planner Show with Nathan Ross.
Hey, if you'd like to contact Nathan for questions during the show today or during the week, you can text him at 713-581-0195, 713-581-0195. Or you can send an email to Nathan at nprross.com, Nathan at nprross.com.
Have you recently joined a real estate mentor program? BeAPlanner.com shows how real estate investments combined with proactive tax planning can generate significant wealth. However, syndication terms for private real estate partnerships are complicated. They help you assess the benefits of ownership from A acquisition to E exit. A planner wants to know what they are signing up for. BeAPlanner.com with CPA Nathan Ross. BeAPlanner.com.
Like the song, Bobby McGee. I'm just longing to be free. Take me where I want to be. Big dreams and fake dreams. And there are many just like with big dreams and faded dreams.
Okay, welcome back to more of this week's Be a Planner show with Nathan Ross. And one last thing I wanted to say about the real estate investor and mentor platforms is you really need to be careful when they delve into the area of tax advice. And, you know, I would tell you it's you talk about an insult if you listen to them and you go ahead and liquidate your 401 money or IRA money based on their advice. And I won't tell you that all platforms suggest this, but a lot of them do. And the largest one that I mentioned sure does. And, of course, they'll make it sound like, oh, well, you know, check with your advisors. And, of course, most advisors that haven't been around this space and understand the nuances and some of the advice it's giving won't know enough or have enough intestinal fortitude to tell you that it's bad advice. But I'm going to tell you right now, if someone tells you that you should or you need either one to liquidate your 401 money to invest in private real estate partnership transactions, I would suggest you might even want to leave and go find another mentor, or at least ask them to explain who's going to give you your money back when you find out that you didn't have to do that, because you don't have to do that. You can absolutely roll your money into preferably a self-directed 401 trust like we use, or even an IRA, which has some other challenges, but we can still use an IRA if we must. And you can defer or otherwise avoid the taxes for sure on the rollover. You avoid the tax and penalty if you do it right. And I underscore, if you do it right, it's not really a suggested DIY strategy unless you've perhaps done it before and you've also got a custodian you're working with that has client service reps that understand the issue. But in any event, no need to do a cash out, and if you do, you're going to give away probably, in most people's case in the Texas area where you don't have state income tax, you're giving away at least 30 to 35% of your family's net worth, since that's where most of it is. And then if you're fortunate or unfortunate enough, as the case may be, to live in a state that has state income tax, you might pay as much as another 13%. You know, California, I believe it's 13.8%. It's the top bracket. And so when you add that amount that you took out of your 401 or IRA to the federal tax, and then you add the 10% penalty at the federal level if you're less than 59.5 or don't otherwise have an exception, you're talking about theoretically as much as 50% in tax, could be more, tax and penalty. So again, ask before you do it, just ask them, just, I want to hear it again. You're saying I really need to do this, and if I find out I didn't, who's giving me my tax money back so I can put it into more transactions? That's what we suggest. you do with the money you would otherwise pay into taxes. Keep it, you know, with the rolled over funds in the new IRA or 401 trust, and go invest it in twice as many deals. And if, you know, it's going to give you all the money you need without keeping those tax dollars, if that's what they're suggesting, you're going to make so much money you don't need the tax dollars at work. Well, why not get twice so much money would be my explanation. As you know, we can double the throughput with twice as much investment capital. Theoretically, I mean, I'm not investing your money for you, so you're going to have to pick the transactions that you want to go into. But I will be helping you understand what you signed up for if you work with us, or what you're going to sign up for. I should say that my goal is to keep you out of a transaction that might be using faulty pro forma data, projecting too high, for instance, we can go down the list, too high of a rent growth, too high of a occupancy, too high of, or not high enough of a exit cap rate. You know, there's a number of things that can be problematic. You know, they could be using debt. The partnership could be using debt that doesn't have enough of a runway on refinancing it to give you the cover you need. Like right now, when rates have gone up and you're faced with a refinance deadline because you went into a transaction that had maybe some bridge debt, a three-year bridge debt was real common over the last couple years. And those are problematic now, especially if you haven't executed the plan that you said you would, which if the interest rates ticked up and you didn't have a rate cap in place, which are very expensive, then you may be spending money on interest that you planned on spending on the CapEx or the capital improvements that have not allowed you to achieve your stated plans, and therefore your rent growth hasn't been as high because you haven't been able to bring that property up to market to the extent you thought you would. But in any event, if you want to learn more about, again, how we help you understand what you're signing up for, please go to our website at BAPlannerShow.com and go to the forms link, and then after you fill out the forms, go book a call, schedule a call with us. The link right next to the forms link. And if all that fails, just call us. Call the number on the website, and I will be happy to spend just a few minutes pointing you to the appropriate links there on the website. Speaking of the BeAPlannerShow.com site, for those that listen in each week, you know that we have assorted news articles that we add to the site every week. These are things that either are appropriate newsworthy topics involving commercial real estate or tax rules, or tax strategies, opportunities, etc., or they're otherwise involving the areas that we invest in, whether it's geographical or the type of assets. And again, it's primarily multifamily, and we're in markets around the country between myself and our clients. I invest in the same types of transactions that I consult with you on, and I know I've got one portfolio of 10 properties that stretches from the East Coast over to Bentonville, Arkansas, so I guess central U.S. or Southwest. And you know, and then we have our radio program in Phoenix, Seattle, and California markets, as well as the central markets. We're in Houston, San Antonio, here in the central market. But in any event, it's very helpful, if not confusing at times, because, of course, the assorted groups that write these articles all have a different perspective. They've got a different view. They may be looking into the same room, but they're looking through a different window, as the expression I like to use, that will allow them to come to different conclusions than one of the assorted other sites. So, you know, it may sound duplicitous at times, but if you'll listen, or better yet, go back and read for yourself, you'll understand more about what's going on in the assorted markets within assorted real estate, commercial real estate classes, whether it's apartments, retail, hotels, industrial, medical facilities, office. They're all covered with these sites that we monitor from week to week, and very helpful information. But anyway, on the baplannershow.com site, there's a resources link up at the top right, and you'll see a sublink for news. And if you'll click that, it will take you to the list of articles. And if you'll go down about half the page, you'll see a red typeface, current discussions. And so that's where I'm going to pick up. And I want to jump ahead to the second article just because I thought it had some interesting comments from somebody that knows a lot about investment and stocks, etc., than we do. And it's always interesting to see what he says that common people, normal people, can appreciate. And again, they had their annual meeting. This is Warren Buffett with Berkshire Hathaway is who I'm referring to. And you may know that his second in command at Berkshire, Charlie Munger, who'd been with him forever, passed away recently. And at the shareholder meeting, he was sought to reassure investors that his conglomerate, the Berkshire Hathaway Company, would serve them well over the long term, even as he mourned the recent passing of his longtime second in command, Charlie Munger. And he further opined that his more than $900 billion conglomerate has become a fortress that could withstand even an unprecedented financial disaster. And his annual letter is worth reading. I didn't link it to our website. I'll see if I can find that sometime in the next week and get it out there. But he said, Berkshire is still built to last. However, he tempered expectations for Berkshire's stock price, saying that the company should do a bit better, quote unquote, than the average American corporation, but that its huge size left no possibility of eye-popping performance. And, you know, I understand what he's saying. It's actually been that way for quite a while, because I remember reading several, well, probably been 10 years ago, where they had a really good year, and a journalist made the point that they would have to buy a company the size of Procter & Gamble or Nike were the two that they mentioned, that they had the cash literally sitting on the sidelines, could have bought either one of them. And they said even if they bought them, it's not going to change their earnings per share that much. And Nike and Procter & Gamble were both very successful companies even then at that time. But anyway, Mr. Buffett says that there remain only a handful of companies in this country capable of truly moving the needle at Berkshire Hathaway, and they've been endlessly picked over by us and by others. So the cat's already out of the bag if they're worthwhile. And This is a company that had a $37 billion operating profit and a $96 billion net profit for the 2023 reporting year. And the article goes on to say, and this is just mind-boggling, that Berkshire's shares have risen by 4 million plus percent since Buffett took over in 1965. That is nearly a 20% annual compounding return, which is what we seek with real estate transactions. And except for the last year or so, the real estate private partnership arena with apartments has generated those type of returns. And that was the point that I wanted to make, is that, you know, while Mr. Buffett's done that with his company, I've forgotten what the share price of Berkshire Hathaway is. But let me just see here. I'm curious if it's still as high as I recall last time I looked at it. Let's see here. My point is going to be that there are other ways for lay people. Yeah, it's $417 a share. And it's been a long time since I checked. It was back around, I mean, a long time, because I don't invest in stocks, but it was over 150 when I checked. But again, so how many shares can we do you for, right? And I'm going to tell you, if you don't have the, let's see, 65, that's going to be almost 70 years, I believe, if I'm doing the math right. And I believe I am, because I was born in 1960. So that sounds like it would be about, if we were at 65, no, I'm sorry, it would be almost 60 years ago. So in any event, if you, like most prospects and clients that come to me, you don't have 60 years to get your retirement wealth accelerated, you probably do have 5 to 10. And what I would tell you is, in the current market, instead of 4 or 4.5 years, which is historically, I would say the last 20 years, I've seen 4 to 4.5 year time frames where one's investment in apartments has doubled in value. So I'm going to say right now at this moment, you're probably closer to a 10-year time frame. And again, there's no guarantees here. I'm just telling you what I've seen. And I'm also telling you, I've seen projects go under with the current market. In other words, the syndicator did not have adequate cash reserves to meet the increased interest rates, the increased insurance costs. Insurance has gone through the ceiling. And they've had properties that were foreclosed on, or they gave them back to the lender. And, you know, unfortunately, that's a bad outcome for investors, because nobody gets their money back. And so it puts a real onus on you understanding, again, I'm going to keep saying it, understand what you're signing up for. Look at the assumption set. Stay away from 3-year bridge debt that has to be refinanced in the third year, or expensive extensions have to be paid to get the extension, if you can even qualify. And so stay away from those transactions. It's not like there's not others. I mean, I will admit, the large majority of transactions over the last 3 years have all had that short-term debt, because the lender community realizes that that protects them. And so that's the type of debt that they've offered. But, you know, the ability for you to find other transactions, it's out there. And if you need help, consider working with us. We track a lot of syndicators, and we watch what they're doing, what they're offering, what kind of debt they're acquiring. And it's critical that you understand all that before you invest in a given transaction. But done correctly, you can safely invest in these type of transactions. Look, everybody needs a place to lay their head at night. This is not like the office market where you've got a lot of empty buildings that have declined, some cases 70-80% in value from 3-4 years ago. This is an asset that has a certain built-in demand just because of the human race, effectively, right? So anyway, okay, let's go ahead and take our last break. We will circle back here to more of this week's Be a Planner show with Nathan Ross, CPA, in a few moments.
Did you know 76% of Americans are concerned they won't have a secure retirement? BeAPlanner.com shows how private real estate partnerships can increase current cash flow and retirement savings. There are three options to control your 401 and IRAs, but only one will double your retirement lifestyle. BeAPlanner.com for the Be A Planner show with CPA Nathan Ross.
Hey, if you'd like to contact Nathan for questions during the show today or during the week, you can text him at 713-581-0195, 713-581-0195, or you can send an email to Nathan at npross.com, Nathan at npross.com.
Have you recently joined a real estate mentor program? BeAPlanner.com shows how real estate investments combined with proactive tax planning can generate significant wealth. However, syndication terms for private real estate partnerships are complicated. They help you assess the benefits of ownership from A acquisition to E exit. A planner wants to know what they are signing up for. BeAPlanner.com with CPA Nathan Ross. BeAPlanner.com.
Is it easy? No, it ain't. Can I fix it? No, I can't. But I sure ain't gonna take it lying down. Will I make it? Maybe so. Will I give up? Oh, no. I'll be fighting till I'm 6 feet underground. I'm gonna woman up and take it like a man. I'm gonna buckle up, be tough enough.
Okay, welcome back to the final segment of the Be A Planner show with Nathan Ross, CPA. And I wanted to talk about the article. Let's see, it's 1, 2, 3, 4 in the current discussions section. What happens if you die without a will? And you'd be surprised, or maybe you wouldn't, how many investors even don't have a will. And this is an article that was out on Kiplinger.com. Let's see, it was 10 days ago now, so that would be on the 15th, I suppose. And it's by an elder law attorney, and he says, I'm continually asked, what happens if I die without a will? The most accurate answer is, I don't have a clue, quote unquote. And sadly, you don't either, or you probably don't. And I just want to hit some high points in this article, and if it's not enough to convince you that, one, if you don't have a will, you need a will, like tomorrow. And if you do have a will, you likely haven't looked at it for updates in a while, and you most likely should. So those two points is what I want you to take away. And whether or not you hear anything else I say about this article, come back and read the article at some point and see if it doesn't, you know, give you a little pause for concern. Anyway, let's move on. So when you pass away, you want your estate passed down to the beneficiaries you choose. You choose should be in quotes, I would say, but it's not that simple. There's, in other words, you want it to go to the people you choose, not others. That's how I should have read that. There are certain rules and procedures that are already being applied to your assets, whether you realize it or not. The first rule is that a last will and testament controls assets that are solely in your name. This can be especially important when it comes to blended families. For example, if a parent has a will leaving everything to his children from a previous marriage, but has named his current wife as a joint owner or beneficiary over the house and financial accounts, then the will essentially become obsolete, or it has become obsolete. This is because joint ownership and beneficiary designations supersede the will. That is a key point. And if I had a yellow highlighter I could mark on my screen here, I would mark that sentence. That's one of the three or four. And so again, second marriages, real estate, financial accounts, etc., joint ownership and beneficiary designations supersede the will. Let's keep going. Well, here's an example, and this is a all too often common one. A married couple has recently divorced, but they share a child. If the father signs a new will leaving everything to the child, but names a sibling as a beneficiary of his life insurance policy, once he dies, that money will go to the sibling, not the child. Maybe not the outcome that he wanted. Maybe it is the outcome that he wanted. But bottom line is, somebody needs to think about it. Maybe it gets split, or it should be split. A law to keep in mind. Another rule that's crucial to keep in mind is the law of intestate succession. This means that if somebody dies without proper planning, their estate will automatically go to the next of kin. You should note that this law is state-specific, but generally follows the family tree. Your spouse will get most of it, and the rest will be passed down to your children. This could be detrimental depending on the individual situation. Let's say you and your spouse both die without a will in place. According to the law, your estate will automatically go to your children as long as they're over the age of 18. For some families, that may not be the best option. Having a will in place allows you to place restrictions on how your children receive their inheritance. Maybe you don't want them to have access to your inheritance until they're older, or maybe you want them to use it for something specific like education. You must clearly state that in your will, otherwise they'll be entitled to use their inheritance however they see fit. Let's see, I want to talk about the probate issue. A good estate plan has the documents needed for any situation that might arise. This includes designating a medical power of attorney, a financial power of attorney, a revocable trust agreement that allows you to pass your estate down to your beneficiaries without the need of probate court, and finally, a last will and testament. With an estate, complete estate plan, you have the power to protect your estate while you're alive, ensuring that your wishes will be followed once you're gone. Anyway, it's a short read on Kiplinger.com, and you can get to it, obviously, from our BAPlannerShow.com website. All the articles that I have discussed in prior weeks are on the website. Some of them are further below in an archive repository, and I need to offload some of the prior. I normally each year move them down to the archive, but in any event, that's a good short update for those of you that have thought about a will, and then invariably we put things off. That's one of the topics we don't necessarily like. Let's see. I had the very first article. Let's see. We got a few minutes. Let's talk about that. Multifamily's tightening performance between the top and the bottom markets. And this is an article that was on GlobeStreet.com. It's one of the white paper companies that study real estate trends, and starts off, rental growth for apartments is expected to slow to just more than 2% this year. That's the rental rate, I believe they're referring to. But they also discuss, this is an article by CBRE, the largest commercial real estate firm in the world. Let's see, they also point to a less examined facet of the trend of the rental growth rate, which is that the gap between the top markets, which generally are Midwest cities with little supply growth, and bottom markets, generally the southern cities like a Houston or a Dallas with aggressive supply growth, is narrower than usual. Other market observers have spotted this same development. Carl Whitaker, Senior Director of Research and Analysis with RealPage, one of the top data gathering firms, tells GlobeStreet that he has seen the gap between the top performing and the bottom performing markets tighten in recent months. The top quartile markets are averaging about 6% growth while bottom-ranking markets are averaging cuts of roughly 4%. So this is one of those scenarios where average will come back to bite you. And it's kind of like, we do QuickBooks work, both training as well as ongoing support for our wholesalers, our fix and flip folks, as well as those that are invested in the partnerships. And, occasionally, with any accounting software, it's not just QuickBooks, but you might be off a dollar when you try to reconcile. And, of course, reconciling cash is probably the most familiar operation. And a lot of people are tempted just to plug it. And what I always explain to people is that, look, if you plug it, I'm going to tell you, that could be two accounts that are off a net of $1. It's not just a dollar. I mean, I've seen situations where it was tens of thousands of dollars going one way and tens of thousands of dollars plus one going the other way. And so I would suggest to you, you need to never act like you're average when you're doing that kind of accounting work. But this is another scenario here. If you just read the headline or read the summary from the study, you say, 2%, that's not bad. And yet you could be dealing with a market that's cutting their rental, or the rental growth rates have been cut by 4% in this case. Almost without exceptions, this is a quote, almost without exceptions, those top performing markets are low supply metro areas with little to no supply skewing heavily towards the Midwest, Rust Belt, and Northeast. Conversely, the high supply markets largely concentrated in Florida or places like Florida, Austin, Boise, Atlanta, Phoenix, and Salt Lake City, i.e., some of the highest inventory growth markets in the nation, round out those bottom performing areas. Interestingly enough, the gap of about 10 percentage points from top quartile to bottom quartile is still slightly larger than the pre-pandemic norm. So we're not quite back to where we were. In 2018, the top quartile markets averaged 7% growth, while the bottom quartile markets averaged minus 0.1. That's 10% of 1% cuts. In 2019, that same sequence was a 6% growth and 1% cuts, top and bottom respectively, or a 7-point spread. So from that perspective, it appears the difference today isn't that the top performing markets are failing to match pre-pandemic levels. If anything, the 2023 top performers are actually in line with 2010's norms. It's actually the depth of cuts happening in the highest supply markets that is informing the larger spread. And so it comes back to, when you're looking at investing, check the absorption rates going on in the markets if you're dealing with properties that are in the lower quartile strata. And the concept of average puts you with a misinformed impression. Let's see, the lion's share of absorption, speaking of absorption, having said that, the lion's share of absorption in 2023 belonged to the Sun Belt and the mountain markets. About 70% of all absorption happened within that region. So demand remains good to great in those areas. It's just that supply has reached truly remarkable levels, resulting in supply outpacing demand, which is what's leading to the rental growth rate being cut. So in any event, the cuts, they do go on to say, though, that the cuts haven't been dramatic on a market level, which keeps the spread fairly narrow. However, we do have some high supply submarkets where rents are falling more. That's very true. Okay, well, I hear the music coming. We're at the end of the show. I enjoyed the show once again, as we always do. Hope you did too, and hope that you will join us again this coming Friday at 11 a.m. in the Houston market on KSEV. Thank you.
Thanks for listening, and join us again next week for another edition of Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA.